Good evening, everybody. Glad to see everyone here. For those of you that are joining us by way of Zoom, thank you for joining us. We're going to start off the February 1st meeting with the invocation and Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Wesson.
Thank you, Chairperson Lee. Please join me in prayer if you would. Heavenly Father and eternal God, Lord, we bow our heads in humble submission to your will. Father, I bow just to say thank you, Father, for all of your many, many blessings. Lord God, you've been better to us and we've been to ourselves, and that's for sure. Lord God, we thank you for all of the blessings, the opportunity to serve the citizens of this great county. And Lord God, my prayer is that in doing that, that our lives will be enriched by the service that we give to others. Father, bless this board, keep us together, keep us strong, keep us doing things that will be pleasing in your sight. Let us represent the people of this great county in a marvelous way. And Lord God, we know that we're all going through some serious things in this world today, and it's kind of topsy-turvy, Lord God, but we know that you're in charge. And so I tell you, I just put my faith in you, but we also got to work while we pray. And so Father, thank you again for your blessings, forgive us for our sins, and just thank you. We ask these blessings in your son's name, amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner West.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is the public comment section. Courtney, are there any public comments at this time?
No, ma'am. I do not have any public comments at this time.
Okay. I'll remind the audience at the end of the meeting, there is also a 3-minute comment section. And so if you have anything, if you'll send that to Courtney, either through Facebook or through email, she'll be glad to give us those. She'll read those to us. All right. Just wanted to let the audience listening in on Zoom know that we do have a change of agenda. We are going to be going into closed session. It was something that came up at the last minute. It couldn't be avoided. So my apologies for the change of the agenda. But Courtney, if you will put everybody in the waiting room and let me know when that has taken place. We need to vote on that first, though. Do I have a motion to go into closed session? And there's two different general statutes.
That
so moved, that's right.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor of going into closed session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you all for your patience in waiting for us while we were in closed session. I did omit saying that there are only 4 commissioners present tonight. Commissioner John Trent was not available to be with us tonight. So I wanted to make sure I added that in. So during closed session, we heard from our ABC board chair, Mike Freeman, and no action was taken. During that talk with them, and there'll be no action taken at this time. Next on the agenda is the Library and Cooperative Extension Construction Project. Amber or Danny, are you with us?
Hello, this is Amber.
Hey, Amber. Thank you for waiting, being so patient with us tonight.
No problem. No problem. Thanks for having me.
So how's our project going?
It's going good. I usually kind of start with some updates, so I'll do that, and then I'll kind of talk about the schedule as well.
All right.
So interior activities right now, the flooring is about 99% complete. Just some final tile in the lobby to install. They were waiting for those 2-hour frames that we talked about to come in, and they have now been installed. They were installing them when Danny and I were on site last week. So that was good news. The library bookshelves have been installed in the library space. Some of the appliances have been coming in. That is one of the delays I'm going to talk about. Appliances are kind of, due to COVID, have been delayed. But we've got a fridge, microwave, washer, dryer, et cetera, that have come in so far. The rest of the furniture is probably going to be delivered and set up at the end of this month. Really, all we're waiting for now on the interior of the building are minor things like putting the room signs on. We still want to do our punch walk through and make a list for the contractor of items that we need him to still complete. Any owner training of, you know, the HVAC system and the lighting and all those items. So that's it on the interior. On the exterior, if you've driven by, you can kind of tell the metal panels are about 99% complete. They really just have some minor trim work to finish. The window boxes that are the boxes that are kind of that outset the building, they were on site when Danny and I were there last week as well. They just have to be put together and set into the holes, and they were going to do one for us to come look at to make sure we were good with it, and so we're hoping that'll be this week. The roof screen needs to be installed. The wood paneling is about 75% complete, so pretty close on the front and the entrance side, it's done. So really just on the back side, if you've driven around there, you'll see it's not quite finished. Exterior lighting is coming along. Landscaping has begun. They've put in some topsoil to prep for seeding, some grading. Concrete is about 90% complete. They did finish the pond and do a rough grade of the site. I think it was week before last now. So getting really close to done. The interior of the space, the contractor has committed to 100% complete by the end of this month. That's with us, you know, punching and creating their list and getting everything checked off. One of the items on the interior, the cooktops that are inset into the counters in the teaching kitchen, those are one of the COVID delays right now. The cooperative extension gave me an update today, and they are not going to be here until hopefully by March. Sometime in March was 9 days with the schedule they were given for that. So the building inspector will probably still give a temporary certificate of occupancy without those, but the kitchen would just not be able to be used yet. So we'll just keep everyone updated on that. As far as the exterior, we're still kind of waiting on the weather with the site work. Contractor's not really committing to anything because of so many unknowns. So we did get an update from their site contractor, and in the next couple of weeks, it's still going to be extremely cold like it's been. Still looking at snow maybe again this week, so they can't really pave anyway right now. But if you look out to mid to end of February, it's warmed up, and hopefully we'll get some dry spells and they can start the remainder of their site work and get it paved. We've been trying to keep Juan up to date as much as possible when we get updates. I want to send him the letter I just mentioned from the site contractor, and we're going to continue to get a weekly update from them with the weather conditions that are upcoming and how they're planning to work around that. If we want to discuss it any further as far as the schedule, because I know right now we're looking at past the mid-March date for a possible ribbon cutting at this point, just because of the weather. We would definitely be happy to schedule a meeting with the commissioners with Lawn to discuss anything if anyone has any questions or comments.
Yeah, Amber, this is Commissioner Wesson. I did hear a couple of things. I heard furniture by the end of February. That's pretty much a lock. Is that correct?
Yes. The majority of the furniture is actually being stored in a warehouse right now.
Right.
So we've just had the vendor kind of hold on to it and kind of waiting for things to finalize. It's not holding anything up that it's not there, but there's no reason since the building inspector now has said that he's fine with furniture coming in, there's no reason we couldn't, you know, start bringing it in this month.
And there was something you said about March. I couldn't quite understand what that something was that was likely to be delayed into March. What was that again?
So I know you, the commissioners had asked us about possible ribbon cutting, and we were aiming for mid-March. I just have concerns with that now, with the site still not being, the parking lot not being paved. It's definitely still possible that they can get it paved before then, but I would feel more comfortable saying we're going to push that out a few weeks.
Yeah, I heard that part, but I thought there was something else, something that was needed as part of the build that you didn't expect until March. No? I understand that.
Yes. The cooktop. So, yes. They were ordered in December, and I think the only kind of schedule update they were given was within 90 days. So worst case scenario, that would be March. And the building inspector will probably give a temporary certificate of occupancy without those installed, but he will probably just will not allow us to use the kitchen or the users to use the kitchen until they are installed. So with that item and the, you know, paving on the outside, I mean, we're definitely looking at March for everything to kind of wrap up. But kind of just following the weather, so we'll know more as time goes on in the next couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. So you don't see, to your knowledge at this point, anything that will take us beyond the end of February, other than perhaps the cooktop and the paving. Is that correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, exactly right. Everything else is on site and being installed or has been installed now. Yep.
Okay.
Amber, you mentioned furniture, and somehow or another in our early discussions when we first started discussing this, I didn't realize that furnishings were a part of the overall price. So are you saying all furnishings for this building is being supplied?
I think there are items, there definitely are tables and desk items that both the library and the cooperative extension are going to carry over and reuse. But there are furnishings that were ordered for this project specifically for the new space. So it'll be a mix of old and new, but you know, there's going to be a lot more space for everyone. So I think to make sure everyone had furniture to fill those spaces, those orders were placed starting back in, I think, November, and has been coming in ever since kind of to the warehouse. So.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Is the library board being kept? What's going on?
Speak up.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, yeah, and there were, this is a little side issue, but there was an issue concerning some of the painting. As you all know, that were in the existing library, at the line anywhere in the old library. But they were, library was holding them. It appears that they were originally gifted to a group that was part of Hope. And so there was some discussion as to where those things would reside. And so they reached some kind of agreement between themselves that they were both satisfied with. So I think we're in good shape.
Where will they reside?
Are they going to go back to Hope with the original owner? Because the library was not interested in likely using them anyway. They kind of didn't fit the
dated.
Yeah. Well, but they're very valuable.
Yeah.
And they were given, so that's not an issue of us trying to sell them or anything like that. But they went back to who should have been the original.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's good.
Is the library taking book donations? If someone asks, can I donate books?
Yeah, Tammy
has. What's the answer to that question?
Yeah, think yes, go Tammy has.
I've only donated like the signed copies that I've gotten from authors. So I don't know about like a box full. But let's finish with them so they're not. Is there anything from Danny tonight?
She could not be on the call tonight.
Okay.
So it was just me.
We didn't want to hold you up. We'll finish with Commissioner Atkins' question in just a minute. So thank you for joining us. We'll go ahead, ma'am.
No problem. Thank you for having me. And like I said, if we want to have any further discussions about furniture being installed or the schedule or anything like that, please feel free to reach out and we can definitely do so.
Are the is the contractor open for people to go visit and walk around and maybe get some ideas of what needs to take place in that?
If the commissioners want to go, definitely. It's just the safety, checking in with Steve, with AR Chesson when you get to the site, and just making sure, you know, safety protocols are covered as far as COVID and site. But yeah, definitely. Not a problem at all. We actually had a walkthrough with Juan and the library staff just to kind of go over their space. And we'll do so with both parties before the end. So,
yeah, we'll get Mr. Vaughn to schedule a time where all of us can maybe go and go at one time so it doesn't interrupt them so much.
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, so, yeah, back to Commissioner Atkins, I don't know the answer. I know I've donated, you know, a couple of books from authors, you know, signed copies, but as far as taking a box full, I don't know.
I just suspect we'll be getting that question out.
Well, yeah. And I also know that Hope has donated some books in the past, historical books around that North Carolina collection. That's all I'm aware of.
Book donations, yeah. I'm sure we'll be
asked. All right. Next on the agenda is presentation of the 2020 unpaid tax report from the tax administrator, Jody Ray. Are you still with us, Jody?
He is. I think he just needs a moment to unmute himself.
Okay, thank you. Won't it be wonderful when we can all be together again and not?
Yeah. I'm here.
Thank you, Jody. Your presentation of the 2020 unpaid tax report.
Yes. Each year before advertisement, I need to report to the board the unpaid real and property taxes that are to be advertised. That should be in your packet. It'll be three pages. One is real property only. One is personal property. And one is real and personal property combined. I'd like to point out that as far as percentage-wise, we are exactly the same spot as we were last year, 89.96%. But actually, we're a little better than that. Due to the countywide reappraisal, values increased. So I had additional revenue to collect. So we're actually just above that 89.96%. And I believe in the consent agenda is the order to approve the advertisement of the unpaid taxes.
Yes, sir. Any questions for Jody? Yeah, we've already skipped around on our agenda so much, we'll wait till we get to it. Great job. Yeah, the number is wonderful. I know some counties are way below that 98.5. Is that what you said?
89.96%.
Thank you.
We are, our collection is lower than I would think, would like it to be. But given the pandemic, plus the increase in values from reappraisal, there are several, when looking through the actual detailed list of taxpayers, there's several taxpayers that normally pay by now have not. And normally we advertise in late March, early April. I'm hoping to get that out in March, ahead of time and get that collection rate back up. But I think we're sitting pretty good.
Yeah, excuse me, Jody, Commissioner Wesson, tell me a little bit more about that. I mean, how far are we off, and is that a problem for us? I mean, you think that we're going to be able to catch up? I'm not asking you to be, you know, fortune teller, but you know, if we're going to be off, we are going to need to know that. It is the big factor in our budgeting. You know, we're going to start our budgeting process soon, so we're going to need to know as soon as you know where we're likely to finish, right?
Right. I don't see a problem. I mean, there's always, when we advertise, we get a big influx of payments coming in.
Right.
I've instructed my staff, we're going through this list and contacting some of these are public service companies that have normally pay by now that have not. So we are personally contacting them, and we've had issues with the mail. And actually today we received some mail that was postmarked before Christmas. So there's an issue with the Postal Service. So we've contacted them, said, don't know if you received your bill. You normally pay on time. We haven't received anything. So we're going after them proactively and trying to get this money in as soon as possible. Like I said, we're pretty much, as far as percentage wise, the same as last year, even a little higher since our values were up. But I don't really see an issue. If you look countrywide, people are talking about the unemployment. I don't know what our unemployment rate is for the county, but I don't see an issue with that. We haven't seen an issue with an influx of payment plans. They all seem to be about the same as they normally run. So I think we're going to come out pretty good.
Yeah, Jody, our unemployment is the best in the state of North Carolina for the last 5 months in a row.
Right.
So
that's
good, because most of our workers are essential workers. Right. We didn't have a lot of retail and things that had to close. We had the prison, we had Purdue, we had teachers. So what I'm saying, Jody, is that as we get closer to the time we're going to have to do budget, we're going to need you to be able to tell us what we can expect as soon as you feel comfortable with saying that we're likely to be here, there, whatever, right? Because it's the major factor in the budgeting for us. And this is going to be a year we got to be early, and we've got to be real sharp on what our numbers are.
Right. I'll end up, when I close the month, when I finalize the month end each month, I'll start sending that information to you that shows you what we've collected, what's outstanding, and I'll do that each month.
All right. Thank you.
That'd be great, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, I received a Christmas card last week, so I know the mail is an issue. But I do appreciate y'all being proactive and contacting those individuals, you know, because, you know, we know that some people just forget. You know, there's lots of different reasons why you may not have received it. So I appreciate you being proactive with it. So thank you.
Yep. Thank y'all.
All right. So next on the agenda is the COVID-19 and vaccination distribution update. Is Mr. Battle or Miss Ashley with us?
Good evening. We're both here with you and appreciate the opportunity to come before you tonight. And we are coming fresh off the heels of a successful vaccine clinic today over in Bertie County. We served 455 folks, so really excited about that. But Ashley's got a few slides prepared that we can share with you all and give you the most updated information on the case counts, active cases, and those that we've already gotten vaccinated. So I'll turn it over to Ashley.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Did y'all want me to share my screen, or do you have the information in the packet?
Yes, you can share your screen, Ashley. Courtney, okay. Can you give Ashley permission, please?
All righty, you're all set.
Awesome.
There you go.
All right, excellent. So what I'll start off with is just kind of giving you an overview of our cases. And as you can see here, we have unfortunately passed the 10,000 mark for cases since March of 2020. So it is hard to believe we are definitely at the year mark. Battle and I were just talking. We actually started getting some of our initial notices at the State Health Directors Conference at the end of January last year. So we are officially at the year mark for public health response. You can see Bertie County, we are happy to present that we have only 40 active cases right now. So we are definitely seeing or beginning to see that downward trend in our active cases. And we just thank all of our residents and our partners across the region for what you're doing to help promote healthy behaviors and making sure that individuals are doing what they need to stay safe and limit the spread of COVID while we work on getting this vaccine out. You can see here, you know, we did think that back, it's funny how when we look back at July and everything else like that, we thought we were having a bit of a wave, but boy, did we see this respiratory trend definitely happen over the holidays. And this is, I think this slide is a great reminder that, you know, yes, this is COVID. It does behave very much like your seasonal respiratory viruses. And this is why it is so crucial that we take these steps to protect ourselves. Fortunately, we have not had a lot of flu cases this year, but as you know, we're really not out of the woods there because flu can peak even as late as March or April. So let's still be mindful of that when we're doing some of our education and outreach efforts that we still want to definitely be cautious. Those three W's are important. You can see here as far as the lab tests and total percent positive, we are also beginning to see that downward trend. In some ways, we feel like this is stabilizing to a certain degree because anecdotally, we're seeing that probably more people who are truly sick are getting tested. Whereas some of the early days, it kind of felt like individuals were really trying to just get tested just for various reasons, for travel, for whatnot. But now, because of our cases and what we're seeing, definitely more testing related to illness. As you all know, we are very much in the throes of the vaccine campaign right now. We do have some numbers and all for you, but we are very, very proud of this public health response. You know, they've really done and expedited this process. However, they've made sure that they've done everything that they could to make sure that this is a safe and effective process. And we're very excited about the possibilities and each dose that's administered has certainly given us a brighter light at the end of that tunnel. Right now, there are two vaccines that are approved for emergency use authorization, and that is the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine. primarily what we are giving in our region is Moderna. We did have a couple of lots of the Pfizer vaccine. We now have given both the first and second doses of that Pfizer vaccine. So now everything is concentrated on Moderna. And we are thankful for that. You know, Pfizer contains a little bit more as far as mixing and cold storage and whatnot. The Moderna is a little bit easier to manage. And so it really helps us expedite our processes. Difference, primary difference between the two is the Pfizer is given 21 days apart, whereas Moderna is about 28 days. And keep in mind that there's some flexibility in that day. So what you all will hear when we start really pushing out these second dose clinics is we will say, if you received your first dose on or before X date, please come. We can give the vaccine about 4 days prior to your scheduled date of the 21 or 28 days. And you can give it after. Now, with all that being said, of course, we are trying our very best to get it as close to that 28-day mark as possible. But obviously, with the allocations, with this lovely weather we've been having and everything else like that, just know that we do have some flexibility. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you all have probably been hearing some of this on the news. They do expect to begin to seek that emergency use authorization approval this week, and that would be a one-dose vaccine. So this could be a huge game changer for us, and they are saying that they could get out enough vaccine to really focus on our adult populations by the summer. So again, that would be fantastic, and we're very, very excited about that possibility. You can see here on this slide that we do have the first doses administered. This was as of Friday. So again, we get to bump Bertie County up above 4,000, y'all. We're very, very excited about that. Yeah. Woo! Excellent, excellent, excellent. Y'all, I'm telling you, our partners in the county and emergency management and EMS and law enforcement, I mean, Bertie County is definitely a model, and we greatly, greatly appreciate your support. We can roll. They did 455 vaccines before 12 o'clock today. So 9 to 12, 3 hours, they were able to vaccinate that many people. So just unbelievable, absolutely remarkable. Second doses, you can see here, again, we have only really focused on the Pfizer vaccines in this count. And so Pasquotank and Currituck were the counties that got that vaccine. We will be starting second doses this week. So you'll see that we do, I'll give you the schedule in just a second, but you can see the progress that we're making. So as of Friday, we are getting close to that 20% mark of our population region-wide for first doses, and about a little over 2% for full second doses. So we are very excited to see this grow and to see this get filled up so we can get close to that herd immunity. You can see here, these are our first dose clinics again. Bertie, Camden, Chowan, and Currituck were done today. Tomorrow we have first dose clinics in Gates, Hartford, Pasquotank, and Perquimans. And then this will be our shift over to our second dose clinics. So anyone who received that Moderna vaccine on or before January 7th is encouraged to attend these clinics. You can see Bertie will be at Bertie County High School. And again, those school partners, we just love everyone over there in Bertie County. We'll be doing the two clinics. Yes, they are fantastic, great site. And then on Thursday, the clinics will be in Gates, Hartford, and Perquimans. So future clinics, you know, I wish we had some better news here. Unfortunately, Northeastern North Carolina has been the rock star, obviously, with those numbers that you all are seeing. But you know, there comes a time and a place where we have to share the love. And so that vaccine allocation is being shifted, and that we did not want to see that happen. We have fought, and Mr. Betts, I can tell you firsthand how hard he has fought to keep our vaccine allocations up. But unfortunately, we know next week we are only going to be receiving 1,300 first dose allocations for the entire 8-county region. So with that being said, we are working diligently this week to really begin to focus our efforts. Second dose clinics will not be impacted. That is a separate allocation. So individuals will be guaranteed their second dose. But these first dose clinics, we are going to really have to target our efforts. We're going to be looking at some of our marginalized populations and really our good community partners that we can really focus some of these efforts, because 100 doses, we will be able to, I mean, obviously Bertie County did 455 in 3 hours, 100 doses won't last long at all. Battle, you want to mention anything about the allocation?
Yes, I think we've kind of, we've been spoiled for these first 5 or 6 weeks with the allocations we've been able to get, and we're very, the slide Ashley had a few minutes ago as far as the percentage of our population of those over between the ages of 18 and 65 is phenomenal. Most places in the state are well under 10%, and we hope to be able to say we're at about 25% by the end of this week, if everything goes as planned, which is a blessing in some ways, but it is a curse because the state has taking a step back and they are analyzing how they're doing their allocations. But we've been garnered support from the National Guard. Mitch and his team have been wonderful. I'd be remiss to not thank you, Juan. You guys, you and your whole team, the staff, everybody has done a Herculean job of our capacity is not the issue in Northeastern North Carolina. ARHS, we have capacity. Our partners have capacity. It's just being able to get our hands on those doses. And it's really going to go to a trickle now. I think for the next 3 weeks, 100 doses in some of our very smallest counties and a couple hundred in some of the others. It's just a product of the environment that we're working in. And that's why we were trying to go as feverishly as we could at the beginning, because I was afraid this might happen. So at least we can say we've reached that portion of our population in a rapid way, but it's not my desire to keep going that way, but we're just trying, we're trying to do all we can to get as much vaccine as we possibly can. So thank you all for your patience, first and foremost. And most importantly, thank you for the partnership, because we could not survive this without you guys. We really couldn't.
I'd like to interject here and just thank you and Ashley. Battle, I can't say enough good stuff about you. You have advocated for our 8 counties, and it's much appreciated. And the numbers tell the story. I mean, how many vaccinations that we've given, it definitely tells the hard work that you and Ashley have done, and we really appreciate it.
Anytime at all. And I thank you. You've taken your time to come out. We've seen you at some vaccination clinics, and any commissioners, anybody is welcome to come and attend one of the sites. We welcome that. It's a good way to interact with citizens and see how the process works. And we're always open to feedback on anything we can do to improve our processes, for sure. I will say you'll see us on Wavy TV 10 tonight. And I'll say it, unfortunately, if those of you that get the Virginia channels and watch that, we've been inundated recently with residents from the state of Virginia coming to our clinics, specifically in Currituck, Camden, and Gates, but they've come to Bertie, they've come to Pasquotank. And finally today, we just had to say enough is enough. It is a federal vaccine. It is purchased by the federal government. But, if I know next week I'm going to have 100 doses per county, we just can't commit to protecting our own residents and taking on the burden of vaccinating the Commonwealth of Virginia at the same time. So you may hear some feedback on that, but my effort and intent is to make sure we put Northeastern North Carolina first. By law, I can't legally turn them. I can't say no, they can't receive a vaccine, but what we've done all day today is we've had them go and wait in a separate area. And out of all the vaccines we gave today, several thousand, I believe there were like three syringes at the end of the day in Camden County. And we did give those to 3 Virginia residents who had literally been waiting there since 8 o'clock in the morning. But they are just, and I understand Virginia's not up to speed and I get that, but I just don't think that's our burden to carry. So I just wanted to give you that update. If you see something, I wanted you to have the full picture of what's truly happening.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, Battle and Ashley, this is Commissioner Weston. I have a couple of questions for you. And well, comment first. I just wanted to tell you that the responses that I've received from citizens has been extremely positive in terms of the process. in terms of, you know, getting in line and the way they're greeted, the way they're, you know, the whole process has just flowed so very, very well. And I think people have been honestly surprised because it's gone so well, you know. And then anytime somebody calls a commissioner, it's usually not because they're real happy. But we've been getting a lot of happy calls, so that's a good thing. The next question I have is that, you know, we are here in Bertie, a very large minority community, about 63% African-American. And when I look at the state results from your site, I saw that only statewide about 11% of Blacks have been vaccinated, about 3% of Hispanics. And so it makes me wonder, in a large minority community like this, you know, should we be concerned with making sure that, you know, minority citizens do get out early, take advantage of this? Are there things that we can do? Are there things that you guys can do about, you know, the message to that particular community? And we know that, you know, we have the largest, you know, age community in our region and the fastest growing senior population. But communication is a big deal, and it's tough with transportation, 740 square miles to get here to a site. So should we be concerned with that? Should we be pushing a more positive message to the minority community? What's your thoughts?
Yes, sir. I agree. And I know you and I have talked by phone about some of these topics also. And I agree with you. I think it's a blessing and a curse that we are going to be facing reduced allocations in the weeks ahead. But I have also mentioned to my team here that I think that's going to give us an opportunity. I try to take a positive approach with most things if I can. And I think that we have an opportunity now to take those 100 doses or 200 doses and go out into our communities and really try to do some targeted approaches. It's hard to do that with 8,000 or 9,000 doses, and those 9,000 doses have to be gone in 6 days. It's a challenge, to be very honest with you. But I think with our reduced allocations, it will give us some time to pause and go in and reach out. We're working with faith communities in a lot of our counties for next week. We're already looking at that, looking at some Meals on Wheels programs, all kinds of different, hopefully non-traditional sites that we can actually go in and reach the very people that you're mentioning to make sure that we are serving all aspects of our population. And I think looking at rotating in different sites in the county, I think being available at, you know, a volunteer fire department or a community center out in a remote corner of the county, I think those are viable requests. And I'll just say, I apologize that we haven't been able to do that to this level at this point, because it's really just been a fire hose method. Quite frankly, we're just taking it and getting it. I'm trying to get it out as quick as we possibly can. But I do think that this trickle in doses will give us an opportunity to make some more targeted approaches. And we are actually planning on that for next week. So I'll open that up. If you'd like to share those with Chairwoman Lee or myself, if you've got any ideas for places that we could go and reach out to in batches of, say, I would say around 50 to 100 over the next weeks, because we are locked into that 100 dose per week for the next 3 weeks, so probably through the month of February, quite honestly. If you've got some places that you'd be interested in us reaching out to, we'd be more than happy to do that, because I agree we need to make sure we serve those folks that are most in need, for sure.
Okay. That's a great suggestion, because I think in the early stages now, you know, the masses of people are coming out. My concern is, you know, where we're going to be a month, 2 months from now, right? When those people who are really, you know that they're going to get it and wanted it and been waiting on it. And then you get to some of those people, well, I'm not real sure, that kind of thing, that we need to, you know, focus, you know, would have some methodology or thoughts around how we get to those people who are not quite sure in the months to come. You follow me?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I completely agree. And we're doing that with certain group homes, housing authorities, we are really trying to proactively go ahead and look at some of those areas. And we've had a running list now for several weeks, quite honestly, but it's just been, we haven't had the resources to get out there and really get down to that level to where we could approach it in those segments where we need to truly take the vaccine to those people. We need to go into those areas and proactively do that. And we just have not had the capacity to do that to this point, but we definitely know we need to do better.
And my last question to you is this, you know, now that hospitals are getting into the game, how is that going to affect the overall vaccination rate and how vaccines are distributed? What's that all about?
Excellent question. I appreciate you bringing that up. For comparison's sake, North Carolina has approximately 120,000 doses of vaccine to give out every week. So that's across all 100 counties for the foreseeable future, the next 3 weeks. That's their federal allocation. It's 120,000 doses. So that's for every county like Bertie, and then every county like Mecklenburg, and everybody in between. And so. As they add additional providers, I think that will help again with capacity. But I'm not as concerned with our capacity right now as I truly am with our ability to get our hands on the actual inventory. We've got a lot of partners that are interested, but it really, in reality, makes no difference if we have 10 providers online and ready to give vaccines, if they can't get vaccines in arms. As a local health department, I'm guaranteed to get 100 doses for a small county, but there are other places that are already signed up to be providers, and their allocations are zero because there's just simply not vaccine to give at this point.
I would just like the conversation around the minority population. We met as an executive board last week, and that was one of the topics that we discussed. So Battle was prepared to during our executive board, and he's certainly prepared tonight to talk about that. So.
This is Commissioner Robertson. I'd like to add to the conversation that I believe we could really reach out to the minority communities through the food banks. When they have the food banks come through in Berkshire County, they have a lot of number of people there. And I'm quite sure a lot of them haven't been treated. But I will help. I will be glad to help coordinate that. Now I'll leave information with the chair, and I'll either contact you directly.
Good Shepherd Food Pantry does a extremely large amount of distribution twice a month.
Yeah, twice.
600 people twice a month.
That's right.
So that would be a
great start.
Good area to be at.
That's a wonderful idea, and I would love to do something like that, especially if we had some untapped potential there for folks who have potentially not been served at any of the other clinics. We could go ahead and actually make a note of that too, to go ahead and maybe that can be some of our first targets that we target for our first couple of weeks, at least to see what that demand is and really make sure we've seen those individuals. I think that's an excellent idea.
And that's a very high minority group of citizens that come through there. And as the chairman said, that Good Shepherd has great management. So I think that's a wonderful idea.
That's great.
That's a wonderful idea.
The one in Lewiston, Woodville, they had the food bank there, Northeastern Development.
And what we can learn from this, we can share this with the rest of the state, places and things that work, in minority communities.
This is Commissioner Atkins. What is your best information on how long this vaccine lasts? In other words, what is the duration of the immunity that it provides once you're vaccinated?
That's an excellent question. And right now, they're still doing an awful lot of studies on that. Right now, their best educated guess on the short term would be around a year. They're hoping that we can at least assume that we can get a year. It could very well be longer. I think It's really going to depend on how the virus continues to mutate and change, and our body's response to the vaccine, and perhaps the virus's response to the vaccine, the virus's response to the vaccine, and how it changes in our bodies and everything. So, I've heard a lot of different studies on that. Read a lot of different studies on that. There's perhaps some talk of there potentially being a need for a booster at some point in time in the future, but they're still really, really early on in some of those studies, because as you know, some of the very first trials and everything were of about 50 to 70,000 people total. And we've already vaccinated about 30,000 in our 8-county region. So I think, you know, that kind of gives you some perspective on how much extrapolation they were doing as far as what that impact would be. But I think, long story short, I think there's still a lot to learn, but we are very hopeful that it's at least a year and hopefully longer than that. And as they're continuing to evolve their science and their studies, it could be that there's a booster, or perhaps that this will do the trick.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Bottle, while we've been sitting here, I've gotten a message. How, and this may be a question more for Mitch or his staff than you, but how will the line be monitored on Wednesday for the second dose, so you don't have folks waiting in line that are there thinking they're going to get their first dose and holding up everybody else and causing the big traffic jams that we've seen for short periods of time?
Absolutely, yes. What we're asking is for people to bring their card, that CDC printed card that shows the verification of their first dose. And that's critical too, because again, depending on what type of vaccine they got in some of our other counties, did they get Pfizer? Did they get Moderna? We need to also be able to verify the date of their first vaccine, because we've had some very, very zealous senior citizens get their first vaccine 1 week, and they're under the assumption that they should come back the next week to get their second one. And that's just not the case. So we're going to have someone checking the cars as they come in and making sure that they have their card. We're going to instruct them also with our messaging. And Mitch and his team have done a wonderful job with that as well. But we're going to instruct them to bring that card, and our staff will be verifying them. If perhaps they lost their card, they still could get a shot. They'll have to go off to the side with someone with a computer so we can actually pull up their proof of first vaccine, so we can make sure that we can validate the type and the date of the vaccine that they did get. So it does cause some substantial delays, but those people would be sent off to a separate line to have that information validated. But if people bring the card, it definitely will expedite the process.
And we do have
also received, go ahead, Ashley.
I was going to say, we also, you know, the county has done a great job with their reverse 911 system. And so while we don't have official appointments for the second dose, what we have asked individuals to do is to sign up on our website, and so we can send targeted messages. And so, like Vital was saying, that education piece is crucial. And so Mitch actually got a copy of that list today, and he is on it as far as helping us really target that message for the individuals who can come on Wednesday.
All right. Thank you. I also got another message while I was sitting here, and this gentleman lives in Beaufort County. He's a good friend of mine. He said, another outstanding job at the shop location this morning. Two more Beaufort counties included. Thank you. So, yeah, they're from Beaufort County, but at least they're vaccinated. So thank you. And I've been getting messages like that a lot. I mean, just, I cannot, you know, people are just so impressed with what's happening here in Berkeley County. So thank you.
Thank you all. And I just say thank you. Most importantly, just thank everybody for their patience, because I think these phases are really ultimately designed to spread the burden of vaccinating. We have over 160,000 people in our 8-county health district. And so these phases really help spread that burden across a greater span of time, so that we don't overburden the system. And that's not much different than like what you heard with the active cases and overburdening our healthcare systems and our hospitals a little earlier in the pandemic. So certainly our friends and neighbors, you know, Beaufort County, we certainly have some of that going on, and maybe some of our folks are going to Beaufort or Pitt County and some of those larger clinics, but we are really trying to watch the Virginia traffic. So we will be watching for that, you know, as we continue to move forward.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
We appreciate the opportunity, and anything we can ever do, just give us the word, and look forward to continuing to stand side by side with you guys as we march toward that light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. Thank you, Battle and Ashley.
Thanks.
Thank you both. All right. So next on the agenda is the board appointments. Appointment of the commissioner to the Juvenile Crime Prevention Council, and appointment of commissioner to East Carolina Behavioral Health Northern Regional Advisory Board. Ooh, that's a mouthful. and yeah, I'll take a motion, or if somebody wants to volunteer for these two board appointments, that would be wonderful.
Well, since Senator Berry was serving on these two boards, I volunteer, unless someone else wants.
So do we have a consensus that that's what is good to go for, you know, to let...
make a motion if we need to.
All right.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor of Commissioner Robertson being on these two board appointments, say aye.
Aye.
Yeah, thank you so much for volunteering. And
that's what I do best.
we look forward to
volunteer.
we look forward to you coming back to us and giving us any updates from these two committees.
Okay, we'll do.
Right,
we'll
do. Thank you so much. Thank you. Consent agenda. Let's see, I guess we need to take consent agenda item 1, 2. Let's just do 1 and 2 right now. I'll take a motion for us to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2.
Make a motion to approve agenda items 1 for registered deeds, fees report, and 2, tax lease, release journal.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of approving 1 and 2, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So the 2021 Senior Citizen General Purpose Agreement. Were there any questions about this agreement?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. These are pass-throughs, and they're done on a scale. But, you know, that's a good question to ask, because in some years back, you know, we felt like we were not getting a fair distribution. And when that was almost overcorrected, because dollars that weren't being used in some counties came to us to make that up. But we used them all, right? So now with the new formula, we're getting a high percentage. So it works pretty well for us. But yeah,
that's
right. It should be good.
All right, so I'll take a motion to approve that agreement.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, budget amendments. You got anything to say on the budget amendments, Mr. William? William Robertson, our finance director.
Good afternoon. Since you just approved number 3, and I was kind of hoping you would.
Can you hear him, Courtney?
Can you hear me?
Sorry, what was that?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Oh, okay. Since you approved 3, and I was hoping you would, I went ahead and added this to the budget amendment. So that's the first line item, is to set up the budget for the senior center general purpose money. As you said, it's $3,505, and then the county's match of $1,168 is $4,673. I didn't fill in the date because I was wanting to make sure it got approved before I put it in there. The next line item was a grant that was received by elections from the Center for Tech and Civic Life for one-stop bonus pay per day. So increasing that one. The next line item was we requested some lottery money, pulled down lottery money this year, so doing a budget amendment to put that in there. The next one is the reoccurring contract services we have with CTS that Jody has to do the real properties. Whenever we get a bill, we usually increase the tax and the expenses to take care of that one. And then the last one was some Family First Act money that Council of Aging got. Again, I think it came through the Middle East Commission, and we need to get that documented so I can put that in the budget. Okay. And that pretty much is it.
Any questions for Wim? I'll take a motion to approve the budget amendments in.
Move to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we heard from Jody Ray earlier about advertising the unpaid tax report. So any questions about that? I'll take a motion to approve that.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Cool. So on to other items, discussion agenda, update on the tax software contract. We did discuss this. We had to go into closed session because something came up with this issue. So we have already discussed that, and we're waiting on further information before we discuss this in open session. So thank you. Confirm work session on 2/17/21. Everybody have that on your calendars.
And the time is, I had 10 to 2, is that correct?
Yes.
Well, hopefully not till 2. Well,
it definitely starts at 10, depending on what we, right. What you all would like on the agenda. 10 to 1, get out of it. We'll yeah. It will start at 10
a.m. I have a workshop on the 15th.
The one that you thought yeah, already? Phase 2. Is that, I thought it was the 25th. What I have. We have to go back and check that.
Yeah, we'll check that because maybe March 25th. I think it's February the 15th and March.
Okay.
But we'll check.
Okay. Yeah, so we're good to go for the work session on the 17th. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then calendar reviewed, essentials of county government, and our new commissioner has been participating in that and has enjoyed. You've been in the one session so far?
Yes. Yes, I was just sharing with him that I think the other sections. February 15th, and the third one is the 25th March. But we're going to look into it and make sure.
Okay, and you enjoyed the first one.
I enjoyed it. Good. It was great.
Yeah, you'll learn a lot. So the NACO Legislative Conference, March the 8th through the 26th, this is typically when we go to Washington, D.C., and it's just an extremely valuable time while we're there. We get to go see our legislators and all this good stuff. But this year it's going to be virtual. We need to discuss if we're going to pay that fee that for us to join in with that. So just for informational purposes, and then we'll find out amongst ourselves and see if we're going to join in. I serve on two of the committees. So I need to be a part of those committee meetings, but that's just informational purpose. For the group, it's $4.99 for right. Up to 5 people,
right.
And then individual $2.75.
Right.
Yeah. You know, if we need it, I mean, I'd like to make a motion that we do it because we need to be available if we're going to. Maybe we can get a count of who's going to be available to do it.
Yeah,
because it's a valuable session. I mean,
oh yeah, good things, yeah.
But you know, we need to know that they're going to be used, right? If we got
to, yeah, I would people, hate to pay that money. Yeah, yeah,
we don't do can't get 5. We probably, but if you do 2, it's going to cost us almost as much as
right.
5. So, you know,
mm-hmm. I don't know why they're, you know, our local association didn't charge anything, so I'm not quite sure why they're charging so much for a virtual conference. I
think they're going to have some speakers.
Deal. Yeah, it's a lot of money for a virtual conference. So I heard motion. I mean,
I'll say it this way: we should probably get a head count of how many people are interested, okay. And they'll determine if we should do it.
Yes. Okay. I agree. So if you want to get a head count together and let us know, yeah, I do serve on two of those committees. I can participate or not participate. I prefer to participate, at least in those committee meetings.
I'm on one, so okay. I definitely want to sit on that one. I'm not sure about the whole thing. The rule.
Yeah, it's every day for like a 2 hours or something. It's crazy. And then ethics training for our new commissioner and our newly elected commissioners need to do their ethics training, which is March the 23rd, and that's virtual. Mm-hmm. And that's free, isn't it? Through our association and UNC School of Government.
Yeah, and actually you can get it through three places, School of Government, Association, and from the MIDI. The MIDI has it online.
Too. Yeah, and even if you take it, like, I know you probably have to have it with the college, you still have to have this. It's different.
Right. And they're ethics not doing training. The one for the college. They're just doing the one for commissioners.
Did you have anything to add to any of all that?
That's okay.
I'm moving right along. It's getting late. So commissioners' reports. I'll start to my right with, you haven't done this before. Let me start down here with Commissioner Atkinson.
I don't really have a report. I've been getting a number of calls lately from Bertie County citizens about some inconveniences at our trash convenience site. I think some of the other commissioners have also got it. I understand that there's a new supervisor that's in charge of these convenience sites. Maybe time to invite him to join us so we can address some of these.
I agree.
I echo that. Yes.
Yeah.
It has been lousy service, quite frankly. I've had to call, or Juan's had to call at least what, a couple times a month. I mean, and sometimes weekly.
Hopefully the Hardin Town side is taken care of.
Not at the most recent one on 17 right now. You exit, there's a pothole about that deep, about 10 feet across. You cannot miss it. You can't go around it. It's so big. Yeah. And the argument is, well, is it DOT's responsibility or is it Republic's responsibility? Supposedly they had worked out an agreement. They have the rock right there on site, 10 feet pile of rock. Just need to fill the hole.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to do it.
Yeah. Regardless of responsibility, just needs to get it done.
And you can't even use if you separate your trash and paper and stuff like that because it's so wet down there you can't get to back to the bin.
Yeah. I'd like to meet him just so I can get his phone number so I can have him on speed dial again. Like the former guy. And I'm sure Mr. Diener would appreciate that too, because right now he's on speed dial. Commissioner Wesson.
Yeah. Just a couple of things. First of all, it appears if you've been paying attention to what the legislature is doing, it looks like one of the big issues was closing the insurance gap or Medicaid expansion. And it looks like both parties are very close to doing agreeing on some kind of Medicaid expansion. And interesting is it's both parties. So we may see something as soon as next week, but they are very close. Now it is not, my understanding, gonna be the typical that you've seen in the 37, 38 states have done it, but it is gonna offer considerable amount of choice. In fact, they've already shared with the executive committee of the association who those carriers are. And they are broad-based quality carriers, right? So I think, and then they're making special disposition around small rural communities, right? Like ours. So if we could just get something done, a lot of people in this county will have an opportunity to, and this is for working people who simply make a little bit too much to qualify. But because this level will rise, and so we're gonna have a significant number of people in this county, I'm talking about over 20,000, who would qualify now, working people, and could get this. So that's an important thing. When I say 20 people, I mean the families and the whole works, not individuals, but it could make a big deal to this county. The second thing is that the association also approved our legislative goals, our five goals that we are taking that are gonna follow us. and the number one is going to be broadband, right? The governor's proposing a bond, a multi-billion dollar bond. And there's again, some bipartisan support for that bond. It's always been controversial, but it looks like if it passed, that a big portion of that money will go to broadband. He's talking about a major expansion of broadband, not just little things that we've seen in the past, a little of this and a little of this, but a significant portion going to rural areas. So finally, there may be some light at the end of the tunnel on broadband. That is the number one goal. Also, there was a goal about where do we have to advertise for meetings? And we're saying that if you want to continue to use the newspapers, you can, but you can also use electronic notification. You can do both, but it is now an option. That's what we're proposing to the legislature. And these are goals that we present to the legislature for consideration, right? There was, again, a goal about, investing, coming with a better formula to deal with the tier situation between counties, right? Rich in Warren County, what's the formula in terms of how we get resources as compared to the Mecklenburgs and the Wake counties and places like that. So that may change in our favor, okay? That was three. And the other two were, one was about transportation and suggesting a different formula for rural than we do for the larger. That right now, the formula hurts rural areas, right? So we're saying we need to be treated separately and differently, two different formulas. And at least that's a start. Maybe there needs to be three segments, but at least going to two better than one would help us, right?
He is tremendous help.
Yeah. And then there was one other one. It may come to mind, but all of the ones that were presented were favorably chosen, and they're going to be presented to the legislature. You'll see more about that. So, thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, yes, you do. So,
okay.
Today we had move-in day at the Tri-County Airport. It was a great day. And I just need to brag on our new commissioner. I just happened to say in passing to Commissioner Robertson that we were going to be moving in, and he showed up to help, and he doesn't even serve on that committee. So, he worked really, really hard. I'm very grateful to Mr. Vaughn for sending some staff out there that helped speed up the process, and they worked really hard, and I'm very appreciative to them. Like all things, that's why I asked about the furniture for the extension and library. We've noticed that we need a couple of more items, and so those will be ordered. I just need to say, if we have anybody still listening, that this airport was built with no local money. It was 100% funded by DOT Aviation, and all the furnishings were purchased by local businesses. So, there's no local money involved in the building of this airport. And it is something that the citizens of the three counties can be proud of. And when people fly in, we actually had our first visitors this afternoon, and they came in and just, they had seen the old terminal. So they were thrilled with what they were seeing. So we're really excited. The ribbon cutting will be February the 11th at 1:30. So you all should have gotten an invite to that. So please come out and join us. We also had ribbon cutting this past Sunday at Mr. E's Kitchen in Orlando. And I was able to attend that, and it was an ugly, nasty day weather-wise, but the festivities inside the restaurant were absolutely great. He had entertainment, and the food was wonderful. Support your local businesses. It was really great. I will be going back. So, County Manager Vaughn.
No report tonight, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you. County Attorney.
One thing that you may already know this, the
Yeah, okay. When we see him, we'll give him my attaboy. All right, so next on the agenda is public comments. Ms. Courtney, have there been any other public comments except for the one I received?
No, ma'am. I have not received any public comments this evening.
All right, wonderful. Anything else need to be discussed? I will take a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you all. Have a great evening.
Whoa. That's not the only good day. Wait, look at my calendar again.